colored eye. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
Welcome to this edition of Sell or Die Extra. I'm Doug Branson. I'm the producer of this fair show. We're going to start off these extras with a five-star review on iTunes. This one comes from Ralph in Florida. I'm new to the official world of sales, and this podcast has been outstanding. Every episode is filled with gold nuggets to use and apply in my new career. If you're going to learn about sales, why not learn from some of the best in the world? Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Jen. Well, thank you, Ralph. Thank you so much for that five-star review. You can leave your review on iTunes. Just search Sell or Die, give us five stars, leave us a little note, and we will read them on the show. Every five-star review gets read on air. Coming up today, we have Jerry Eisenhower. He is a chimney expert and sales coach. Now, you may have seen or listened to the episode where Jeffrey had Jerry on our show. Now we flipped the script. Jeffrey went on Jerry Eisenhower's podcast, the Successful Home Inspector podcast. Great one. You should subscribe to that as well. Great business advice, not just for home inspectors, but for everyone as well. And today's conversation is going to center around the service call, which home inspectors, plumbers, electricians, all of those trades are very familiar with the service call. But a lot of people don't think about sales when they think about the service call. It's about going out and doing a job. But as you'll hear in this episode, mastering the sales aspect of the service call can revolutionize your business. And really, what is a service call? It is meeting with a client. So it doesn't matter whether you are in a service industry or a trade industry or whatever industry you are in, dealing with clients, interacting with clients, especially in their own home, the most intimate of places, can offer a lot of insight into the sales process. So this is a really fascinating episode, a lot of insight from Jeffrey and Jerry Eisenhower.
Here's our people that are listening, okay? Many of these are home maintenance service contractors. And what I call a service call is often someone will call somebody to house and they want a service call done to check something. But I also say it's an audition for the big job that they really need done. And then what we do is we go to a home, we find there's problems, and we have to break the news. In fact, I even call it, we may be breaking their heart, because we're telling they need repairs or upgrades. Maybe it's for safety, maybe for other reasons. How do you suggest that they prepare the relationship? Because that's one of the things that you teach in a lot. They build the trust and relationship before they get to this point of breaking their hearts and offering them the solution. What's the secret to that trust and relationship building?
Well, think about this in terms of yourself. When you walk into a store or you walk into a business, the first thing you're hoping for is someone who is friendly and can help. Someone friendly and someone helpful. Those are the things. If you walk into most department stores, someone's going to come up to you and go, "Can I help you with something?" And you're going to say, "No, I'm just looking." And just looking means that you weren't very engaging. Now, the smart clerk will say, "Were you just looking for something business or something casual?" And that way I've engaged the person. What normally happens is after the first rebuff, people will go, "Eh." But when you're going into someone's home, that's a whole different set of circumstances because you're treading in their home space. So they have to feel comfortable enough to let you in, which means you got to look good before you walk in the door. You have to look like you have a confidence factor about you that is approachable and seemingly safe. You're in my home. Who the heck are you? You got that part, correct? Then it's the first words that you say that set the tone. So instead of saying, what seems to be the problem, you can say, I'm here to help. And someone will go, wow, finally, someone's here to help. Then they will show, you don't have to ask them what the problem is. They'll tell you. And then finally, what are you doing that is somewhat memorable? Because what you do, whether it's cleaning out a heater or a chimney or an attic or, you know, vents or whatever it is, it's dirty. And you have to look like you're going to do a clean job because I don't want my house full of soot. I don't want my house full of fiberglass. I want somebody that's going to clean up or be clean. So they're going to put on their shoes, their little booty shoes. But what they don't get, Jerry, is what's the memorability of this? What can they do that separates them from other people who kind of do the same thing? So one of my ideas is you imprint your little booties with your name, your company name, your name, phone number, and you have them made in both adult sizes and kid sizes. So if you go to the home and there's kids there, then you give all the kids booties to wear. And they're marching, they'll wear them things for years because they're kind of fun. And the challenge is that every time the kid wears the booty, the mom or the dad is going to think about the person who came in to sell the services. And I think that's, you know, part of that, the process. I wonder what some of your customers, some of the business owners have done to separate themselves from other people. What do they do?
Well, see, that's one of the problems is a lot of people are not really coming up with a method to separate themselves, to take themselves out of this is going to be an extraordinary experience. This is a phenomenal experience.
Right. So I've just given them a 50-cent solution.
It can't cost more than 50 cents. It's just like you said. But the whole thing is it's all about that comfort level. And what you're doing there, you're also building a relationship with the children. Years ago when I was sweeping chimneys, we just finished Christmas. And what we always did is we carried pieces of red flannel cloth with us. So when we reached up in the damper, what we do is I'd have this little piece of red cloth in my hand.
Oh, cool.
I would pull it out and I'd say, hey, it looks like Santa Claus tore his pants last year when he came down. And do you know, years later, I had parents that still had that cloth that I gave them as a child.
That's pretty cool.
So it was. It was really cool. And a lot of it sounds kind of corny.
No, it's not corny. Time, it's cool as hell.
It works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one of my thoughts has been always, and I've taught that the sale is often made in the first 90 seconds after you meet someone. Because in the first 90 seconds, they're going to make a judgment if they can trust you.
Right.
They're going to make a judgment. Do I want to have a relationship with you? I think, do you feel like people are gauging your eye contact, your hand motions, all those things during the relationship building process that we talk about?
Yes, but I'm going to challenge you that it's their words that are going to resonate more than anything. So if I walk in and I look decent and I look clean and I look safe and I look approachable and I say to the woman, I'm going to do a dirty job as clean as I possibly can. That's going to make her feel comfortable and safe. And what you're going to, then his next question is, okay, how many pairs of booties do I need? And she's going to go, what do you mean? I said, well, who else is in the house besides you that I'm going to, you know, I got booties for everybody. And that way there's an immediate engagement. And I've always been under the, you know, I did a lot of in-home sales early in my career in the 70s, and we would always ask for a glass of water. Drinking out of the other person's glass makes them feel like you're okay with them, like you're safe with them. Anything that you can do that creates calm in the house. Napoleon Hill said it in 1937. He said, neutralize the mind of the buyer. The buyer's on guard when you first get there. Who the heck is this guy? Prove yourself. My arms are folded. I called you maybe on a recommendation. Maybe I Googled you. Maybe I went to to Angie's List or whatever, and or Craig's List or whatever, and I found you somehow on the internet, and now I'm calling you up. You still have to prove yourself. And if you walk in and say, I'm here to do a dirty job as clean as humanly possible. When I first moved to Charlotte, I needed a contractor to knock a hole in a wall. And I got a recommendation from someone, and I called the guy up on the phone, and he did a two-day job. But after the first day, he completely cleaned up everything to get ready for the second day. Jerry, I could eat off the floor. Literally, I could have a sandwich, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich off the floor from a drywall, cut the hole in the wall, put up another, you know, and spackle it and, you know, and trim it. And it was unbelievable. Well, I've been using that same guy now for 20 years. I don't want another contractor. So the key is the first job will get you the second job if you do it right. And I think that's what you're, you know, the businesses that you're that we're talking to and we're talking about, the first job is easy. It's the second job that you earn. Your internet, your marketing, your advertising, whatever it was that got you the first job, that's nothing. I want a 10-year customer. If the value of that customer is a couple hundred bucks, that's not my guy. I want a couple thousand bucks.
Right. And see, that's what often happens here. We're going out to do a service call that may, and the customer is expecting to spend a couple hundred bucks. And then after we're there, they're finding out it's going to cost them thousands to have what they thought they had before we ever walked in the house. So that's why I call it the audition for the big job they really right. need.
Right.
So yeah. Let me ask you this, Jeffrey. How does one learn to listen to the customer and shut up?
It's real easy, Jerry. It's a two-word answer. Take notes. When you walk in, you have your tablet, you have your pad, you have your legal pad, you have a notebook, whatever you got. And when they start to talk, you start to go around, take a couple pictures with your iPhone, take a couple notes with your iPad, or you can handwrite them. But writing shows that you're listening. And that's key to the customer. They want to know that all the stuff that they're going through is going to be detailed. And they're even in their mind going, how's this guy going to remember all this stuff? And the answer is, the guy's taking notes. The guy that takes notes will get the job. The guy that doesn't take notes will have to bid on the job.
You know, Jeffrey, when we were going through training, that was one of the things that you added the following words. What that customer is telling you is so important that you need to write it down.
Exactly.
And it just impressed. And I've taught this, and if people are listening, have been through some of my sales classes, guys, you're hearing where a lot of my processes have come from because this guy trained me and I'm licensed to use them. So a lot of my sales training goes back to the guy that you're listening to right now because I base a lot of my presentations on what Jeffrey shared with me. Over the years, you know, I've been lucky enough. I've been in open classes. I've also been lucky enough. I spent time alone. We bake bagels together over at Einstein's across the street, things like that. So, you know, so you'll know this is the benefit of the training that we go through to learn from people like Jeffrey and the other coaches and mentors that I listen to. Okay. So you got to listen. You got to write it down. Now, what about this one? And you're from New Jersey, and you're going to understand this because you're from a state that you even said, you know, from in New Jersey, we eat our young. Is that a quote I can put with you?
That is a quote. My dad, when I was growing up, my dad said, Jeffrey, if bullshit were cement, you'd be the New Jersey Turnpike.
There you go. And up north, you run into this more than we do in the Southeast. Which is the negotiator. Mm-hmm. They want to bargain on the price. And that is a natural, I think you're taught that in some Northeastern states in high school, how to be a negotiator.
Yeah, or you go to a flea market or you go to some kind of farmer's market and you want to, you know, everyone expects a slight deal. Now, yeah. You can do it one of two ways. Number one, you have to know your price. You have to know what you're willing to go to work for. And never go below that. Walk away before you not go to work for that price. That's number one. Number two, you can quote a price by saying, Mrs. Jones, before I quote the price, let me share with you, my prices are fair and my prices are firm. My prices are fair and my prices are firm. And you have obstacles. You know, people are going to go, well, I can't. Blah, blah, blah. No, that's the best I can do. I'm not going to sacrifice the quality of my work for a few bucks. You know, if I cut my price by $100, I'm not going to do any less of a job. I'm going to do the best job I can. And the money that I put into this job allows me to service what it is that I sell so that if you need something else, I can come back. And I think that there's, you know, they have to recognize that you're selling value, not price. When someone's in someone's home, you have to look at the value of their home. What is this worth to me? Now, I'm going to share a personal thing. For 4 years, I lived in Brown County, Indiana. Brown County, Indiana is a very rural place. It was a population 125. It was 35 miles south of Indianapolis. And my home was an old Dutch oven log cabin that had been added onto over the years. The house had four fireplaces. And the first thing I wanted to do was to make sure that I had enough firewood, which my neighbor came down and showed me how to get trees out of my woods that had already fallen so I didn't have to chop down a new tree. They'll fall in the spring with the rain, and then they season over the summer, and you can chop them up into logs. I had a splitter, the whole nine yards. So I could build a fire, but how clean were my fireplaces? That's what I really wanted to know. So I called a guy, a chimney sweep guy, who showed up with a high hat and he looked the part, mustache, everything. And he said, look, before I start, I'm going to make sure your house doesn't burn down. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you got the job. He said, but it's going to be dirty, so I don't want you to be in the same room when, you know, as I'm doing this, and I'll clean up when I'm done. I'm like, okay, really cool. And that guy, I lived there for 4 years. I brought him back every year. I didn't want to take any chances because we burned a lot of wood. You know, Indiana, the winters are freezing, freezing, freezing cold, starting in November and ending literally in March. So I've got a 4 or 5 months fireplace lit all the time. I mean, literally all the time. So I wanted to have faith in the guy who did it. He did a great job, but he started out by challenging me about my house. That was value to me. I did not want my house to burn down. Okay, fine, buddy, do it. There's no way you can describe the word value as it relates to an in-home service other than I want to rely on the person who I'm talking to and believe that they're going to do the job that they say they're going to do. If I don't believe in that person, there's a huge problem. So looking at it from the perspective of tell me what you're going to do and then tell me how I win as a result of what I do, and you'll have the job without negotiating a price.
So there you hear those words again, right? Belief, outcome, value, but in terms of a service call instead of a sales call, because every interaction that you have with a client is an opportunity to form a relationship that down the line can eventually lead to more sales. So great insight there, as always, from Jeffrey. And thanks again to Jerry Eisenhower for having Jeffrey on his podcast, The Successful Home Inspector Podcast, from Jerry Eisenhower. Make sure to check that out as well. And a little bit of trivia. Jeffrey, spending some time in Indiana for a while. A lot of people know him as a Jersey guy, as a Philly guy, as now a Charlotte guy, but he lived in Indiana for a while too. He was a small town guy for a while. So interesting stuff there. Make sure you come back next Thursday. We've got a sales manager spotlight for you. And as you heard on Monday's Motivation Monday episode, we're going to have a new programming format soon. In August, we will be 5 days a week of content. And these, if you like these extra bits, they will actually in August start shifting to Wednesday. So make sure you join us then and every day here on Sell or Die. Before we go, one more five-star review. This one coming from Mike in Lauderdale. Mike says, I've been to his live events, bought his CDs, and signed up for his podcasts. 10 years later, I have to say, Jeffrey Gittimer offers the best real-world advice I know of. Their recent podcast with Mario of How to Leverage LinkedIn was just outstanding, with one useful tip after another. Time is money if you're in sales, and this guy is money. And that episode was money. Mario Martinez Jr., make sure you go back and check that episode out if you haven't yet. If you're on LinkedIn and you haven't listened to that episode, I'm telling you right now, you have not maximized the potential that your LinkedIn page can offer you. So head over to the feed, again, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, search Sell or Die, subscribe to the show, tell a friend, and leave us a 5-star review because we will read it on the show. We thank each and every one of you for those 5-star reviews. Coming up next week, again, another episode of Motivation Monday. Get ready for your sales week with us here on Sell or Die. And Tuesday, we have an outstanding guest with an outstanding British accent, Phil M. Jones, who will reveal the science of selling. Really great episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Doug Branson. I produce the show for Jeffrey and Jennifer and Nada. Get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.